right, here we go. This is our music. This is our theme tune. This is we had this specially written. We never paid for it. I'm sure we owe somebody some money for this, Judith. Get your purse out.
Don't tell them now.
Get your purse out.
Hopeless.
This is your treat. Okay, I don't know about you, Judith. The weather here in London, very disappointing indeed.
Oh, disappointing, as we know, is a very strong word. It is here too. It's grey and it's annoying rain that's kind of not torrential, but
did irritating. You have yesterday, because we're recording this on Wednesday morning, yesterday we had thunder and lightning and rain that was very, very frightening. Did you have that?
What do you mean rain that was very frightening?
Thunder and lightning, very, very frightening. It was like a Queen lyric. Crossed with a nightmare. The thunder and lightning was so on top of my house. And then battering rain. Yeah, really. I couldn't go out all day. I was frightened. I get frightened of the weather.
No, I do sort of get that. I do get that. Our house in Worcestershire was struck by lightning when we were asleep. And also,
God,
I've been in a plane. And I've also, while we're at it, been in a plane that was struck
by lightning. But lightning never strikes twice, Judith.
Well,
but you've been struck twice.
It does. Okay. So we were asleep, and I think in those days I probably slept a lot better, but I'm not sure.
Well, you'd probably have some prescription drugs in your sunglasses case, like me.
I have never woken up with such a start, and it's deafening. It is
really
deafening. And we lived, I don't know whether you even knew us then, but we lived opposite a church, right opposite a church, and obviously that sort of attracted it, I think. Anyway, it hit the house.
Church spire. It normally goes to the church spire,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it didn't. It went to our house, and I remember the terrible shock of it, and it knocked the aerial and the chimney and all sorts of things. But Mike's car, I remember going out. Well, all the windscreen wipers were going, and all the alarm, you know, it's like it hit car as well. And the car went, oh, fuck! Oh, fuck!
The car had a little panic attack.
Yeah.
And what about, that's frightening enough, but it didn't set fire to the house or anything like that.
Well, no. No, okay, no, but it was pretty unpleasant, and I am a bit scared of it. But yeah, on the plane, flying from Newcastle to London, you know that awful
bit. Ridiculous thing to do. Why would you fly from Newcastle to London?
I know.
Oh, that was back in the heady days of shoulder pads and court shoes, wasn't it, Judith?
Oh,
that was when you were the boss.
Absolutely. Awash with money, relatively, I was then.
Yeah.
So, you know that awful bit.
Showing
when
off.
The holding pattern. So you think, oh, great, OK, so we're on time. And then you get to the fucking holding pattern.
And
you can't see out of the window, and it's cloudy, and you're aware when you set off. It looked a bit stormy, and you think, oh. Yeah. So it went all horrible. It went really bumpy. Lots and lots of turbulence. And then, this massive noise. Massive.
Bang, like
and a vibration. And the pilot came on and he said, I don't want anyone to be alarmed. We have just been struck by lightning, but there's nothing to worry about. We've got, you know, anti-lightning, whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Somebody
next to me explained it to me and I wasn't really listening. I was just terrified. It was awful. It was awful.
I'd have shat my pants, to be quite honest.
Well, I think I probably did. Probably did. I know.
I've had bird strike on a plane once, coming back
you
from,
what?
I think, bird strike. You know, when a bird gets in the... Well, we weren't able to fly because the flight coming in to get us, to pick us up in Italy, to take us back to the UK, as it was coming in, there was bird strike. It's when gets in the engine, And I met someone the other day who'd been in the airport with me. He said, oh, you were quite well behaved compared to some of the others. But I think it was like a 9-hour delay, something like that.
Oh, God, was
it?
Were they giving you tokens? Were you in
tokens? Yeah, it was token time.
Token
time. Talking about catastrophes, right, I don't know whether you've ever been in this situation either. We stayed in a really nice Airbnb last weekend, Jeff and I, because we were doing one of his art sales, trying to sell his wares. It wasn't quite right. I had a great time though, because it was in this village hall in a place called Backham, which I think is quite posh. And
I think it is very posh. Yes.
And the other stall holders were such good fun. I cannot tell you.
Oh, were
I just
they?
Really, yeah. They just were
oh, that's
all
nice.
A bit mad. Do you know what I mean?
Were you not competing, though? Were you not competing for the same customers? I'm surprised that you were all
pulling
in the same
direction. Well, no, because everybody was doing something very, very different. I mean, Jeff was the only one that had art, and people had vintage clothes, and people had jewellery, and all sorts of different things. It was different things on different stores. But I really loved it. And everyone was sort of, it was mostly female. I think there were 30 stalls, 27 female stall holders, and three blokes. So I think Jeff does them because he likes being sort of surrounded by loads and loads of women. But it was
I bet he goes down very well because he's quite well turned out and he has that nice top hanky, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think people think, well, if there's something wrong with my car, I'll ask him because we're quite a long way from anywhere else. Anyway, what I was going to tell you was I was staying in this Airbnb and it was really charming, and I would recommend it in a nearby village called Bruton. Again, very, very posh. And but it was on a corner. Honestly, Judith, I've never stayed in a place where I've thought, well, this looks like the opening sequence to Casualty. Do you know what I mean? It was on a corner in one of those villages where lorries just come shooting past. And I'd be sitting there in the front room thinking, any moment now, an oil tanker could smash through the wall. And the other good thing about...
It would be the end of series, big special disaster.
Yeah, it would have been the big one. It would have been the
absolute,
the really big one. Yeah, they might even have used, you know, a storyline using celebrities, you know, celebrities staying in a... Well, I don't know.
Could have done that.
I could have played the part myself.
What would they have done? Hold on a minute. But what they'd have done with that is they'd have sent you off in a different direction, wouldn't they? There'd have been a ladder or there'd been somebody on a bike and you'd think, oh, we're going down that route, are we? And then all of a sudden...
Afraid flex. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And then all of a sudden, bang. Yeah. I'll tell you what else is good about this place. There was a spare bedroom, which was the most charming bedroom. I might put a picture up on the notice board. It was the most charming little spare bedroom in the world. And it just made me want to be 6 years old and staying with my sister.
I don't often feel like that.
Yeah, it was really chintzy and really pretty. It was pink and green, and I like pink and green together.
So there was no wall tanker. You did actually manage to watch the telly and come away unscathed.
It came away unscathed, Judy.
Only you and I could think about that, couldn't we? You know what?
Yeah.
I knew somebody who lived in Holland Park and just quite spontaneously, with no warning, the ceiling of her bedroom fell in. She literally went into the bedroom thinking, oh, what's that noise? You know, literally, apparently, it was like white powder all over everything, like lumps of the ceiling.
Do you know, Jeff and I stayed in a hotel once and exactly that happened. It was on the Ramblas in Barcelona and it wasn't very nice. It was before the internet, so it was going back to the 80s. And what it was an attic bedroom and there was so much pigeon shit in the rafters that it was too heavy and the rafters came through. And we came back and the bed that we'd been sleeping in the night before was just covered in rubble and pigeon shit.
Right,
it was awful.
Right. So obviously it does happen. I mean, you know, like you wouldn't want to be in the bed, would you? It would be awful.
Oh no, not covered in pigeon shit. You really wouldn't.
No,
guano, that's what it's called, isn't it?
See, it's something else to worry about, isn't it? You know, it's kind of, you know, you've given us the oil tankers coming into the living room, and then I've just added as a side dish
lightning
that come down in the middle of the night. It's not, you know, for the gang who are like-minded
who don't sleep anyway, you've got three more things to worry about.
Sorry, gang. Sorry.
Pigeon shit rafters, lightning, and oil tankers. Really sorry about that. I'll tell you one plus, though, one big mega plus of where we were staying. There was a garage within 50 yards and it had a Budgeons. Now, I don't know Budgeons very well. Do you know Budgeons,
Judith?
No, I do,
really. No, had a garage.
It was a big one, though.
Why was that lucky? It sounds really
well, I know. I just thought, I know. I thought we'll be on tin spaghetti hoops tonight, but now I got in there. It was an Aladdin's cave. It was enormous, this Budgeons.
Oh,
and at one end, it had a cook range. You know that posh cook range?
I do know the cook range. Yeah. I do. I've recently become rather familiar with the cook range, actually, because...
Have you been cheating?
Run-up, you are. Well, no, in the run-up to the twins coming along, I did a mad panic buy or two at Whitney Cook thing. Because they're very upmarket frozen stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I had the tarragon chicken. It was delicious.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? I mean, it's quite pricey, but it is quite good. And do you know what they said? The nice lady there. And she said, oh, because I went through a terrible phase of saying, oh, yes, I'm expecting twin grandson. And she said... And she said, well, for new parents, in the first 6 months, get your daughter to sign up. And it's 10% off for 6 months, you see.
Well, there's a handy hint. Yeah, that's good for me, because do you know what? There's one en route to Phoebe's house.
Oh,
I could just slide over. In West Dulwich Way, there's a cook outlet there.
Oh.
And you know me, I'm a shit cook. So I could stock up and just sling a few of those. You know, because I'm not... I can only do three or four things myself.
Yes, and, I know. And I think I know what they are. Roasted vegetables, lamb, slow-cooked lamb with something weird you put in it, don't you?
No, it's not weird. It's the feta cheese and melon salad that you put...
Oh, yeah, always.
Turn your nose up at. But it's by Nigella.
Yeah,
feta cheese...
Nigella
does it. Feta cheese, and it's the watermelon.
Yes, don't tell me about it again. I find it off-putting.
Black
stop
olives,
it.
And then you toast those little seed things.
Sounds like a terrible painting that somebody's splattered colour all over it.
It's gorgeous.
Now, where was it? Yeah, the frozen, cook, The only thing is, the other day I said to Mike... I am quite bossy these days. He was coming over.
What do you mean these days? You've always been bossy.
Yeah, I know. But I've gone into a super, super bossy and quite bad-tempered mode with Mike of late. Anyway, too much on my plate. But the other day I said, you know, notes everywhere, bring this to Sienna's, you know, a fish pie or something like that. Now, the trouble is it started to defrost. So what I'm going to say is with this range is you've got to cook it from frozen. However, it started to defrost. And when he walked through Sienna's door, I fucking knew... I thought, you little tinker, you've put that in a bag sideways on. Instead
on
of putting
slide.
It in a... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was
all slid out. You know, so instead of being a very nice aubergine pie, it was all like an orange mess.
Oh,
could have killed him. Could have killed him, Jenny.
Well, it's not really worth killing someone over, Judith.
Well,
you know, he's done it before. That's not going to stand up in court.
Well,
and I don't think you can really defend yourself by saying, yes, but he'd done it before. It was his second offence and I won't take it. So I had to kill him.
Always done. Are the things that Jeff has done over the years that you've really struggled to forgive him for? Because I remember when I said to Mike, right, I'm going to meet you at, you know, in Newcastle or whatever for one of their birthdays, and you've got to bring the birthday cake. You know, don't forget the birthday cake. And do not forget the birthday cake. And again, he did that.
Had you made the birthday cake?
I'd made the birthday cake, very unusual for me. And again, he put it in a bag sideways on, so all the writing slid off and all the icing slid off. Again, you know, so it's a bitter, bitter wound.
I think that actually, I can see that would stand up in court. Actually.
Do you? You think there's a difference between that and the
I do. I think that one and the aubergine bake, they're two different things. But I think, you know, being careless of a child's birthday cake is a criminal offence.
It's quite
I think
up
you should
there,
have gone down for about 6 months, really.
Yeah, it's
for
quite
that.
Up there. Other things that you haven't forgiven Jeff for that still
because I flare up. You know me, I'm a shouter and a tantrumer. I flare up and then it's all over, and then I'm sort of a bit embarrassed and I apologise, even though it's not my fault. And then I go, sorry.
I remember one Christmas you said that you were in Wales and you just had to go back after your storming out and apologise to everybody.
I stormed out. I stormed out and then I was cold. I didn't take storming out clothes with me. And, you know, I was stuck in the middle of this field at my sister's place in Wales. I didn't even have my phone, you know. If I thought about it properly, I'd have taken, you know, one of my fake furs and salt, you know, sitting on a tree stump somewhere with my phone. I'd have had quite... Mind you, there wouldn't have been any service. It was tricky. I had to come back and eat humble pie and apologise. But I had my fingers crossed behind my back. I wasn't really apologising,
Like a child that threatens to run away and then comes back 2 minutes later, isn't it?
Talking about children running away, Judith.
Yeah.
I know we've got our sort of running order of notes, but I'm going to, because you've just opened that, because you've just broached that subject. Jeff and I were in the park the other day. We were in Peckham Rye Park, which is one of my favourites. And we're coming back to the car park bit. And there's this particular route round, and it's about, I'm not very good at judging distances, but it's about 500 yards from the playground.
That doesn't mean anything to me either.
I was a terrible guest and I've no idea. But say, it was quite a long way. And there was this little toddler boy. And I said to Jeff, he looks like he's on his own, that little boy. Oh. And then there was a woman sort of quite a way behind him. And Jeff said, I don't know, look, there's that woman. And I thought, that's not his mum. This is this just, this, there's no connection. There's, I can't see. Mm. I know that these two have got nothing to do with each other. And anyway, this woman was looking a bit worried. And I said, is he yours? And she said, no.
Oh, my goodness.
He? And then she sort of looked at me and she stopped herself from saying, is he yours? Because obviously, And she said, I think he came from the children's playground. And
oh, my goodness.
So I sent Jeff, I said, you run. Obviously, come on, you know, that was a stupid instruction, wasn't it? You know, I said, you run to the children's playground because there'll be a mother there going mental.
Yeah, going hysterical. Absolutely. Was the child worried? I mean, was the boy worried?
No.
Couldn't
give
gosh.
A shit. He did look. He looked a bit concerned. You know, that sort of toddler concerned look, big-eyed. And he wasn't sort of very... He had obviously some speech, but not... He couldn't really deal with me. So anyway, me and this woman, we were saying, shall we find mummy? Shall we find daddy? Oh. And we walked him back. But you're not allowed to sort of pick them up or anything in case it looks like you're running off with them. No. So I had to sort of do a Pied Piper with him.
Oh.
So he wouldn't wander off any further. And I was doing my sneezing routine, which babies really like.
What's your sneezing routine?
You just sneeze at them and they really laugh. So that's... That's my Pied Piper thing, because I don't have a recorder or anything like that. So I just did a series of sneezes and he just followed me back to the...
to the playground.
Anyway,
right.
I thought I'll hear her mother screaming. I'll hear her and she'll be on her knees.
Running towards him.
Yeah, and she'll, you know... No, there wasn't that scenario at all. It was quite a handsome bloke in his early 40s, tall, good looking. The basic came up, shrugged, and he said, yeah, he's number four.
No, so he probably gets lost. Took it in his stride. Oh my god!
Don't think they'd really noticed.
Oh my god! Blimey! Mind you, you know when we were young. Do you remember? It was more sort of common, wasn't it? Do you remember? Like every shop had a kind of tannoy.
Yeah, so yeah, I think people are much more paranoid now, and they sort of tether the children, don't they? Yeah, they have them on reins, and they have them sort of. Electronically tagged and all that kind of thing.
No, I think that's dogs, Jenny, but I know what you mean.
Oh, right. me that's another thing I'm not allowed to do to my grandson-to-be. I'm not allowed to electronically tag him.
Well, no, I don't
Can
think
I not take him to
well
a vet and have a chip put in his neck?
Well, do you know, it's quite a practical idea, isn't it? But
Jackie,
I don't think it's going to work. How are your teeth?
Oh, that was a sudden turn of gear.
Well,
how are my teeth? Well, oh yes, because last week I was going to the dentist after we did the podcast. I've now got 39% plaque. It's down from 42%. It's still not good. It's meant
That's
to be
very
only 20.
Specific. How do they know that? What
they
there's
know
some
because,
measuring thing?
Yeah, there's some measuring thing. It's loads of tools in my dental practice. Loads and loads of tricks and tools and sort of modern gizmos, gadgets. Yeah.
Well,
and of course they do
the
very old fashioned
expensive thing.
Well, it's only as expensive as it ever was, but there's just more tricks. And she puts that stuff in your mouth, you know, the purple dye that shows up how much... Have you never had that even when you were a kid?
I've never had the purple dye, no, never had the purple dye.
Oh, God, it's really shocking. It shows how much plaque you've got. It's basically... They used to do it to children to really frighten them into cleaning their teeth. And it's come back in a big way.
Right.
And so she goes, oh, so you've been doing really well, have you, with the teeth cleaning? Yes, I say, yes, I've been doing really well.
What, before she starts doing it? Before she looks?
And she goes, oh, well, let's have a little look. Why don't you just have a swill of this purple liquid?
That's so mean.
And then I'll have a swill. And she says, let's have a look in the mirror, should we? And it sticks, the purple dye sticks to wherever there's any plaque. So I just smile into the mirror and it's just as hideous. It looks like Halloween witch stuff.
I don't like her. I don't like your
hygienist. Oh, she's great.
I wouldn't.
She's great.
I would. Yeah. Well, I hope she's good at her job. So at the end, does she then give you the purple dye and it all looks much better?
She gets rid of the purple dye for me. Gives me a shine and a polish and all that kind of thing. Yeah. We're doing. Because I tell you what, when I first started going there, Judith, my gums were bleeding badly. And my gums no longer
really
bleed. Yeah.
But
we were seeding like crazy.
But the money you must have spent, it is, I mean, no wonder there's a dental crisis. I mean, people in this country, I mean, it's massively difficult to get an NHS dentist anywhere.
Yeah, the way I see it, though, years. This is my fault. This is self-inflicted. This is poor dental hygiene over many years of sort of going to bed too late and without cleaning my teeth properly and not being born with great teeth anyway. So, yeah, so it's just one of those things. I am reaping what I sow. And there's a bit of me that if I didn't think it was my fault, I would make much more of a song and dance about it. But I know this is my fault. I also was a smoker. And that makes your gums recede more than anything else.
Oh, does it? What, even though we don't smoke anymore? Do you think
I did a load of damage in the old days. I was anorexic. I used to have I used to put my fingers down my throat. You know, I've done terrible things to my teeth. The fact I've got any, I'm very lucky.
The thing I remember about going into a prison, just bear with me, is that people, they all had bad teeth. I mean, I've only ever been into one prison. To research fine cell work, you know, that wonderful charity that we both talked about before, where they learn embroidery and get paid for it. And I think I went into Wormwood Scrubs. That's right, I did, didn't I? But then what remains is A, everybody wanted to talk to me because they were so starved of sort of outside
conversation,
you know, people to talk to. And the teeth, I mean, obviously, and they said that. They said, there's, you know, we don't get access to any dentistry in the prison. And you know, very hard to look for a job and come out with sort of terrible teeth. Really, really hard.
Talking about cell, were you watching the Royal, I nearly said Royal Variety Show, but I don't mean it. I mean Chelsea Flower Show on the telly last night.
Yes. Oh, I wasn't watching it last
cell,
night. No.
Fine Cell had a garden.
Oh,
the charity
so
Fine Cell had a garden.
Pleased.
Yeah. And it was, I think they'd won a medal as well. And it was, it sort of echoed what the charity was about, because they had sort of, it was done in sections which are measured the same as a cell that a man had to,
oh,
you know, spend.
Oh, how
all,
fabulous. Yeah.
So it was nice. It was nice to sort of hear, you know, the name of the charity, because we are fans of that charity.
Yeah, we are.
And if
we
you
are.
Do any embroidery, that's the charity who will make your embroidery up into cushions. You have to look at them up on the website. We're not going to answer individual questions now. You have to do your own research, everybody. You look up Fine Cell on the internet and they will. Yes, harsh, but, you know.
Yeah, know what you mean. We've got things to do. Haven't we?
So now, listen, we leapt to the bottom of our notes a while ago because we had Lost Child story. But I just want to recap to our catch-up section. And I had a very nice day on Sunday, Judith. I had a nice little job. Didn't pay any money. Well, 150 quid, but, you know.
Well, better than a poke in the eye.
Better than a poke in the eye. And it was at the BFI.
Oh, nice.
And British Film Institute, yeah. I thought I was going to BAFTA. I got a bit confused when the cab driver stopped. I said, oh, we're not really there. He said, yes, we are. And anyway, it's BFI, and it was Radio Times was doing podcasts and events and a film and telly festival or something or other. They were doing events, and I was asked to host an event, and I was doing a Q&A with the girls from Mallory Towers, Judy.
Oh, how fabulous. Loved those series. Fabulous. So what, is there a new series coming out?
Series three is on the way, and there are some new characters, and one comes with a horse, and the girls that I interviewed on stage were absolutely joyful, and there was about 300 people in the audience. It was mostly children.
Oh, yeah.
And they were rapt. I cannot tell you how excited they were to be there, how much they enjoyed it. It was very simple, very straightforward. They just watched two episodes of the new series. There are 13 episodes in the new series. Watched two. And, you know, there were whoops, there were laughs, there were cheers, there were claps. It was just great. And that atmosphere just carried throughout. It was a really joyful occasion. And I stayed to watch the Call the Midwife event afterwards, which was, you know, it was quite interesting. I don't think it was as good as my event. But while I was sitting there, right, get this, a mouse ran across my foot.
Oh, my God, an actual mouse, a real-life mouse. Oh, my, did you squeal?
No, I didn't, because they were doing, they were showing a clip of a sort of backstreet abortionist.
You kept it in.
Start making
you managed
fuss,
to rein it in.
Yeah, reined it in.
Hell,
reined
Jenny,
it in.
I'm very
impressed.
Oh, how horrible. Did anybody else see it?
I think, apparently, well, I did tell the girl usher at the back. I said, listen, a mouse just ran over my foot. She said, yeah, we're very near the river.
Oh, my God.
I thought, well, you need to get some cats in here.
Yeah, you, they do, they do. God, it's a good job you didn't squeal. I think they're called the midwife fans. There would have been like a Mexican wave, wouldn't it? The squealing that would have gone on. I'm very excited about Mallory Towers. When does that happen? Is it coming out soon?
It's coming out soon. I think they all go onto the BBC iPlayer. That's the best place to find them. So if anybody loved the Enid Blyton Mallory Towers series when they were younger, the first series came out in lockdown. Judith and I both really loved it because it was so comforting. And if you need some comfort telly, as we often do, find these on, because they're... People say, oh, I'm scared of watching them because they won't be as good as the books. They're better than the books.
Oh, they're so good. They really are. They're so good. I mean, they're funny and they take you back and they're great storylines, beautifully done. I am properly... Oh, and the other thing is that, so you did that, and the other thing that you said you were going to do last week is you were going to go on to Good Morning Britain.
I did that.
Flog your brushes. I forgot to watch.
Well, I wouldn't worry, I was on for about 4 minutes. It was on.
Go on.
It was like, well, you know, they finished the programme at 9 o'clock, and I was sat there at 9:15 thinking, come on, my turn. But, you know, they were grilling a top civil servant about...
parties, maybe?
No, it wasn't. It was the price of cost of living and oil and things, I think, anyway. And I kept thinking, come on, my turn.
Yeah. Push off. Yeah.
So I didn't have. But I showed off hard for 4 minutes.
I bet you did.
And that by the time I got home, because they hadn't fed me, when I got home, I was so hungry and so tired. I just stuffed food in my mouth, and then I managed to stay up for a few more hours. But by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Judith, I could not stand up anymore because I'd had to get up at six, and I'm not good at that.
Oh, well, that's
nothing. I had to go back to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
This baby of Phoebe's is going to have to be like a lion.
I was going to say, wait until you do an early morning feed with her.
I don't think that's going to be required.
Well,
is it?
I don't. Is it?
She's
probably
not.
Two.
She's only got one.
Yeah,
I think maybe when Tristram
does a
shift, maybe when he's away at night, because you know he's a social worker and occasionally he has to work overnight. Yeah. Then I might have to go and stay with her and help her out. Yes, of course I will.
I think the thing is that when they get to, well, certainly when Sienna gets to 7 o'clock, she's had, you know, however many feeds in the night, and she's just desperate to get back to bed. So I think all bets are off. It'd be very, very
interesting. Is that when you turn up then around 7 and take over for a couple of hours?
Yeah, so literally I go and get them, and then she turns over and goes back to bed. It's a tough old shift, that is. Mike's done it this morning because of the podcast. God knows how he's gone.
We should do a daily podcast, Judith, and then you get out of it every day.
Do the podcast again.
Yeah, sorry, podcast time. Okay, all right. So, and then after the 7 o'clock feed, right, when do they next need a feed?
10. Is it 10? Okay. 10 o'clock. Okay. Now, the thing is, there are rules about the 7 o'clock feed, right? Okay. Possibly designed to get the maximum amount of work from me, because other than the, unlike a lot of the other feeds where you basically change them and kind of get them ready and put them down again, that's the one where you have to do nappy time, nappy off time, and you have to do tummy time, and you have to do all sorts of things. It's all on your list, and you have to top and tail them ready for the day. So it's quite a tough shift.
Okay, right. Judith, I'm just going to suggest something. If Sienna is fast asleep, snoring her head off because she's exhausted, those babies can't talk yet. There's no way they can tell their mummy that Nana didn't do anything. She just watched some telly and just put us back.
You are such an influence on me.
Just lie. Just say, we had kicking, we had bare legs, we had all sorts of things going on.
The only thing is, I'm not sure how about that, because they've got one of these visual baby alarms. And I'm not really, I don't think I've properly listened about how it works. And I'm slightly worried that if I did that. They might know, mightn't they? You do feel a bit watched, you know, with those things around. Be careful.
Oh, really?
Well, a little bit. Yeah. You have to be. I'm sure they're not going to do that, are they? They're not going to do that. But you feel a little bit, and sort of. Yeah, I mean, she's not like this, but you kind of feel like they're keeping an eye on you. And why wouldn't they? I mean, you're handling the most precious things in their lives. Of course you are. Oh my God, it's like the most precious thing, and that, you know, obviously you've got to hand them back sort of intact and hopefully touching wood. Yeah. So it's quite nerve wracking. I'd be fascinated to know how many weeks before.
Well, it's sort of, you know, I mean, the thing is, I let me just look in my diary, because I never thought she'd get...
don't know off the top of your head.
Hold on.
Is she looking big now? Is she looking big?
It's 30... I haven't seen her for a week. So 33 weeks this Friday.
Wow.
And I didn't actually put in anything in my diary after that. I never thought she'd get beyond 33 weeks.
No, you didn't, did you?
So, no, I just had this really, really sort of horrible feeling it was going to come really quite early. But now I've put 34 weeks in pencil for next week, but I haven't gone beyond that. So I'll just do it in pencil every week. So, yeah, I think, well, I mean, I saw her last week, and I think I sent you a photo, and it's all baby, isn't it? I mean, it's
amazing.
Just...
amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So can you tell from the back that she's...
No, not at all. Just when she not turns at all. Absolutely not at all. You can't tell when she's sitting at a table, really, either, though I think now it's coming a bit higher up, as, you know, it's filling
all available space. Does she look gorgeous?
Well, sometimes she looks knackered, I think. I don't know. I'm trying not to interfere. I've got my interfering windows Friday afternoon this week. I'm basically, you know, scheduled some time every week where I'm allowed to go and interfere.
To interfere.
Yeah, interfering schedule, where I go over and I do hardcore interfering for a certain number of hours.
As before, only we can.
I'm shown the door again. And then it's got to have a little bit of time before I'm allowed back to do more hardcore interfering.
Yes. Yeah. I think things will change. I think interfering will quickly, swiftly turn into help.
Well, it's already started. She suddenly realised I'm back on tour in September, and she had a bit of a wobble.
God,
she went,
did
you know,
she?
You said you were going to help me. I noticed you're going back on tour. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. I think it's possibly
Culture
time,
Corner.
Judith. Culture Corner. I've got the theatre this afternoon.
Oh, very grown up, very posh, what you're saying.
We're going to see, I've just forgotten. It's Kill a Mockingbird in the West End. Matinee.
A theatre version. Is that a new thing, a theatre version?
It's been around for quite a long time. Rafe Spall stars, and it also stars my next door but four neighbour. And that's why I'm going, because I've managed to get cheap tickets. They're £40. If it's a company member, you get company seats, and they're £40 each, which in the West End now... It's a lot, but it's not 185 quid. We're going in early because we're going to have a Pret in town.
Oh, nice. Yeah, otherwise you won't be able to concentrate, will you? You've got to have something to eat before it starts, otherwise you'd be hopeless.
Unconscious, yeah. I think it's quite long. I think it's 3 hours. Might have two intervals. That's a bit frightening.
Right, okay. Well, good luck with
I'll report back next week, okay.
Please do.
Okay, now then, what about you? Should we go books or telly?
We could go books next. Yeah, what are you reading?
I am very much into The Paper Palace right now. It's very well read on Audible, and it's quite surprising. It's sort of posh but quite nasty, which I like.
That's definitely got your name on it, hasn't it?
Yes.
Very good. I've been a bit lost with books, and so something popped up with Great Expectations because it's included or something in Audible, and so I've been listening to that, read by Martin Jarvis, and actually it is brilliant. I mean, obviously I read it years ago. But my God, the genius of Dickens is quite something. And you know, he's such a lovely hero, isn't he?
I don't really know it very well.
Oh, it's the one with Miss Havisham.
I don't really know it. But I think that I know people who, you know, get a lot of joy out of listening to Dickens. And I think it's a good standby.
It is fabulous. But I've also just started and decided for it to be my book choice. Book club choice is The Apples Never Fall by Leanne Moriarty.
Yes, I've read it. Yeah, of course I've read it.
Oh, trust you. Trust you. I thought it would be
really clever. I'll reserve my judgment because I don't want to sort of, interfere with your enjoyment of the book.
Let me know what you think.
Okay, let's move to telly.
Telly, right. Well, Chelsea Flower Show, obviously, you've been watching and I've been dipping into. Which is very
I think lovely. That's worth actually going back and watching properly, Judith.
Yes, it probably is. And now that you've mentioned that, Rose, I probably want to get that too. Mm. And I certainly want to see the Fine Cell Garden, which sounds fabulous. Mm-hmm. What else have you been watching?
I have been watching, also on iPlayer, High. Now, High is the story of Bun Girl. Do you remember Bun Girl, who was part of the Peru 2? She was an Irish girl who accidentally got, well, accidentally, that's debatable, got caught up in drug smuggling in Peru via her first trip away from Ireland to Ibiza.
Oh, my God, yes.
Where she basically partied too hard, fell in with the wrong crowd, and found herself, age 20, being tapped on the shoulder at Lima Airport.
Oh, my God.
With her suitcases stuffed with drugs.
Oh, crikey. Did she go to jail?
Oh, yes, of course she's. I think she came out about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not too sure because I'm not at the end of it yet.
It sounds like the kind of salutary tale that I used to tell the girls when they were just going off for their first holidays. I tell you what I've found, recommended by one of Ellen's friends, is something called This Is Us on Prime. Have you heard about This Is Us?
Yes, I have done. Yes, I have. Yes.
It's very sort of lightweight and feel good, but it's funny and it's lovely, actually. It's got loads and loads and loads of episodes and loads of series, so it may be something that's been that turns out to be rather good in the first season, but then goes off. I don't know.
I think a lot of people really like it. That's all I know about it. I think I've dipped in, but I think I dipped in the middle of a series. Right. Mm. Also, I think I'm going to start next on iPlayer is Love Life. The first series starred Anna Kendrick, and it was basically the seven big loves of her life. And this is now featuring a young guy, and it's the loves of his life. And they're they're nicely written, funny little one-offs. I like them a lot at the first series. Let's hope the series stands up to
Sounds good. Yeah.
Anything else, Judith, you want to...
Well, I sat next to somebody in the Village Hall the other day. I was manning this... bloody stall. Anyway, that's another story.
Oh,
and
what were you selling?
Nobody came. It was an event in the Village Hall where all the kind of societies had a table, you know, and we'd gone to town because I'm in the Village Hall committee, you know, so we'd done badminton rackets and wedding stuff and bunting and all sorts of things.
I don't understand what the badminton rackets are.
Well, because you could hire it to do badminton and you can hire it to have weddings. Oh, keep up. And we do markets every Saturday with produce.
Okay. So what did you do with the badminton rackets? Did you decorate them?
It was just, you know, like draped at the back. We didn't get that much trouble, Jenny. Anyway, the woman on the next stall, who's kind of pretty much the same age as me, I think, was saying that when she got COVID, the thing that got her through it was that she watched Bewitched. She binge-watched Bewitched. And I'd forgotten about Bewitched. Did you ever see it when you were little?
Yeah. Sweet. Very nice. Samantha the Witch.
That's right. Who twitched
and
her
And Darren,
nose.
Her husband.
Darren, her husband. You remember Darren, her husband? Yeah, absolutely. And her mother, who was the sort of proper witch, who could do all sorts of really super-duper things.
And they had a baby.
Bewitched. I don't remember the baby. But
they had a baby.
I loved that series. I absolutely loved it. So it got me looking for it on the internet, and I watched an episode, and it kind of really took me back. Really took me back.
I think now and again that's what we need. Now, what were you selling on your stall? You were very vague about that. Was it jam?
Well, we were selling the Village Hall. You see, we were selling the Village Hall.
That's never going to go.
Yeah, we're selling.
People want jam. You know, they come. They want jam. They don't want a Village Hall love.
I know they do. I know they want bits of knitting and jam. But anyway, it was hardly anybody came. It was a lovely Saturday afternoon, and basically, I kind of wished I wasn't there. But it was nice to talk to people. It's a lovely village. But there you go. Right, so we're on emails. Emails?
We're on emails now. Yes, okay.
So, did you see the one from Alison Bell from New South Wales, 61 and a half? And she said
that's New South Wales, that's Australia, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just checking. Actually. I thought, halfway through, fuck me, is it New Zealand? Oh, shit.
Oh, I see. Okay. You're talking about New Zealand.
Yeah.
Now, did you have a look at it? Because we were talking about Mother of the Bride outfits, and she... Her daughter made her buy two outfits. One Joseph Ribkoff, about, you know, same designer that I bought.
And I liked that one. Yeah, I liked that one. She sent us photos. Yes. So the Joseph Ribkoff is a good place to go for Mother of the Bride that isn't too Mother of the Bride.
Yeah.
Because then she bought another Mother of the Bride, which was proper Mother of the Bride.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But she looked bloody good in that too, though, didn't she?
She's a good looking woman.
And then she did... And then she went on to tell us, because we were talking about how difficult it is to open things these days as we get older. She did you see this? She's done a PhD in, and get this, there's a thing called openability.
Yeah.
How about that? About
it's a
this
huge
very thing.
thing. And because I, you know, we mentioned last week that my Auntie Eileen had a problem opening her ice cream carton and had to wait for her carer to come the next morning. You know, that's infuriating. Well, sort of 12 hours after you actually want the bloody ice cream. And it's not just old people, because a girl I know from doing Draws Off who has Parkinson's, she is also struggling with opening things. And it's just, you know, this whole thing, there's so many millions of people across the country who aren't being thought of at any time when it comes to anything. You know, it's not just technology which is leaving people behind, but it's packaging, it's, you know, COVID testing for people with sight and mobility problems, so hard. Everything is made so hard for so many people.
Yeah.
You know, so isn't it great that there are people doing PhDs in
absolutely. Let's hope that the manufacturers take notice. I really hope they do. I tell you what, I really do as we get older. So, yeah, that was good.
I'm just going to smash everything, Judith. I'm just going to throw everything at the wall. Yeah,
just get
I'm going to have an electric carving knife permanently plugged in on the side of the sofa. So if there's any fucking thing I can't get into, I'm just going to carve it into it.
Very good idea. Very good. I want to go to the loo now. I need a loo.
Okay, well,
I
think
and
that's
I've got
time
a jumpsuit on. Do you know what I mean?
That's time.
So it's going to take me a while.
We're going to have to finish the show right here, right now. Because otherwise, you know, there's going to be wet legs all around. Which is the name of a band, actually, Wet Leg. Apparently very, very big. Jeff couldn't park outside his studio yesterday because Harry Styles was there.
Really?
I mean, Harry not Jeff's Styles. Studio. It was in the Brixton Academy opposite, but there were hordes of screaming girls. Word. Anyway, yeah. He's great, Harry Styles. Anyway, there we go. You go and sort yourself out, love. You go and
yes,
sort yourself
I
out.
Yes, I will. Okay. Well, look, very nice to talk to you. Thank you, Daisy, as ever. Now, look, we want some more emails, and it's olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Please tell me, Daisy, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, thank God.
Goodness, I got very tense then.
Oh, me too. I went a bit sweaty. Okay, well, have a good week and send us some emails, gang. Have a look at the notice board. Join the notice board on the Instagram thing. You probably want it. And it's very nice to talk to you, Jenny Eclair.
Well,
there
thank you very much, Judith Holder. And I will speak soon. And lots of love, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Daisy. Thank you for putting up with us. Bye.